show it to us. See, I can't. These are only words. Our laboratories do not allow for that. It's impossible. By the way, in order to go to a third dimension, you would need all the energy of the flat universe together and all the resources, financial resources of the two-dimensional universe, and all the dollars of all the countries of the world put together to create a machine that will produce an energy to make a dent or a gate into a third dimension, and it won't be enough. Literally, that's what scientists say nowadays about a higher dimension from third to fourth, for example. I can't prove it to you, but the mathematics, and then come some flat scientists, they say the mathematics show that it exists. Well, that's even better, but we don't have to believe it. But it's a world in which there is greater freedom. There is greater freedom. Now, keep that in mind. We talk about as human beings in this global culture now, because of a certain philosophy of life and a certain ontology and a certain epistemology as a consequence of that and a certain methodology of research, we talk about freedom of the self, don't we? Freedom of the nafs, don't we? Because it gives us higher degrees of freedom from the constraints that keep us to the khalq, to other beings, human beings. I want to be free from you and from her and from everybody else. I want my nafs to be free from you. You are an external dimension. This is a deeper dimension in me that needs to be satisfied. And if I go to the realm of my nafs, which is a hidden dimension, which is a higher dimension, I get more freedom. Does it make sense? I'm actually arguing philosophically using the dialectic to help those who speak of freedom of self. They didn't think about it this way. But it helps them. But it's not the end. I tell them, I agree with you. There is a higher freedom when I go to the nafs than the khalq, with some constraints and certain norms that we all have to respect. And there is no such thing as absolute freedom anyways of the nafs, because I will not do certain things of freedom away from people, because it will lead to more harm to them than the freedom that I want to attain and the acts I want to commit within that realm of freedom. But because in that philosophy, the identity of a human being is no more than physical and nafs. There is no such a thing as a dimension of the qalb in that philosophy, in that epistemology. In Islam, and many of us don't realize that also, there is the qalb. And the qalb is even more hidden of a dimension than the nafs. And in our learning and in our knowledge, it is the qalb that connects with the source of freedom itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, not the nafs. Not the nafs. And you can see that if I go and I accept philosophically first and intellectually the existence of the dimension of my qalb as superior and higher to the dimension of the nafs, and I allow the laws of the qalb to take place in my life also, I will be liberated even further. And then I can connect with the divine being. Then my qalb can soar freely in dimensions never before experienced by man, by human beings. Going to the dimension of the qalb provides for a higher degree of freedom because of the law, mathematical law, that says when we go to higher dimensions, we do achieve higher degrees of freedom. The freedom of my qalb, true freedom is the freedom of my qalb. True liberation is the liberation of my qalb from my nafs and from the khalq. and from the created world and things and beings. And as I go to the dimension of the qalb, there are laws that govern also freedom of the qalb as they relate to the nafs. In order for me to maximize freedom, then consequently to maximize my happiness, I will never have an idea of what it is to be happy at the level of the qalb if I have never allowed my qalb to be freed from my nafs. I will only experience the happiness of the nafs from the khalq, and only that. That sometimes is a legitimate pursuit and happiness, and sometimes it is destructive. Why destructive? Because it prevents the least to say, and to me the most dangerous is it prevents the heart from going free. It prevents the heart from living that which it was intended to live, its journey to God, its journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, its journey of nearness to the very source of knowledge and of happiness and of peace and of good. The journey of my qalb, the freedom of my qalb. I want to be free to go home. Let me go home. Don't keep on feeding my nafs. For the more I feed my nafs, the heavier it becomes. And the heavier it becomes, the stronger it will pull me down, hold my heart, chains my heart. One of the scholars, rahimahullah ta'ala, faqih of the external law and faqih of the internal dimension of our qulub, Shaykh Sidi Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, rahimahullah ta'ala. Great Hanbali faqih. By the way, those of you who didn't know that he was a Hanbali faqih, he was acknowledged by the fuqaha and by the fuqaha of the heart to be Sultanul Awliya, the Sultan, the sovereign of the Awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the right way, not in some extreme way. He, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to say among some most beautiful oracles that he gave from the depth of his heart, naturally his qalb was connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said sometimes, oftentimes he addresses those to whom he spoke, and they were by the thousands and tens of thousands, and he was in Baghdad in those days, the seat of human civilization in all aspects of life. And he was the spiritual master, never considered himself as such, in all humility. Rahimahullah ta'ala wa radiyallahu ta'ala. And he said, Ya Ghulam. He would address everybody like, Ya Ghulam. And when you read that, if you walk in this path, you shiver. It's you that he's talking to. It's me. Ya Ghulam, or young boy. Young boy. Young boy. How does it sound? Ya Ghulam. And he was, when he said that, in his 80s. In addition to the fact spiritually everyone was a Ghulam for him, spiritually, even age-wise, everyone was a Ghulam and a child. Ya Ghulam, young boy. Mali araka qa'idan wa qa'iman raki'an wa sajidan fi ta'abin wa nasab. Walakin qalbuka la yabrahu min makan. Why do I see you standing and sitting, that is in worship and in devotions externally, in ruku' and bowing and in sujood, in prostration, in hard work and in pursuit of hard work, yet I see that your heart has not moved?